Blog Talk Radio. From your normal show, and we're going to get into that because I have the flutist, or they say flautist, Guillermo Laporta, and who's coming on the show to tell us what this actually is. But first, a message from our sponsor, of course.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale.
Oh, yeah, and you can get these delicious brownies if you go to brownies.com. Yep, and by the way, they also have cookies. Cookies. Oh, my God, it's like soft batch cookies, and the best one is their chocolate mint that's so much better than the kind that you get from the Girl Scouts. But anyway, there goes the drool down there. Yeah. Okay, so we have Guillermo on the phone right now. Hello.
Hello. Hello. How are you?
Okay. So, as they say, explain it to us.
Yeah, so... Yeah, Guillermo and I am the co-director of the show Visuality, together with Josefina Urraca, and yeah, we are very, very happy to finally do the show here in Queens, because we are actually Queens based, and we live in Sunnyside, and for us it's a pleasure. Yeah, we moved to Sunnyside like three years ago,
and okay.
really like the neighborhood, and we did a couple of productions already at the Queen's Theater with other projects, and we are very happy to have such an amazing theater for the show, because I think it's perfect, the theater, for the kind of production that we are presenting.
So tell us explain it to my radio audience, since
yes,
Visuality is not happening right now.
Yeah.
We can only hear you. So
yeah, and it's and it's,
right.
It's actually
so what,
sorry, it's a bit delay. Yeah, Visuality is hard to explain without any kind of image or any kind of video, because the core of the show is the classical music. We are actually classical musicians. I'm a flute player, and Josefina is a pianist. And we want to present the classical music in a completely different way. So in one side, we want to combine classical music as well with contemporary and with new music. And what we want to do is to develop the visual component of the classical music. That's why we combine visual art together with the music and as well the technology. We really love to apply the new technology, the visual projection, the augmented reality, even virtual reality integrated with the show. And what we do is to present different pieces, different classical music composers, for example, like Claude Debussy, or we have some American composers more contemporary, like Sébastien Courier, that writes amazing music for example, for flute, clarinet, violin, cello, and piano. And then we work with a couple of dancers and actor. As well, we do some acrobats and aerialists for the show. So this is a very interesting combination to mix classical music with all this multidisciplinary art that we do. And yeah, the theater is really great because it's kind of like a 360 theater, the Queen Theater, and we are really happy to do it.
So to give me an idea, let's pick out like one of the pieces you're going to do.
Okay.
A classical piece. Well, the classical pieces, are they like people know them?
Some of them are in the standard repertoire. For example, we do a piano trio in G major by Claude Debussy, and we do the second movement. It's a piece written originally for violin, cello, and piano. And for example, with that piece, normally you can hear that piece at Carnegie Hall or something like this, and they only play the violin, cello, and piano musicians. But for example, we are going to create a giant pop-up book that is going to be on the stage, and the actor is going to open, and the dancer is going to be flying around this giant book, and then we are going to do as well video mapping projections integrated inside this pop-up book that is going to open in the middle of the stage, because we want to develop. We are working in a new character that is going to appear in that moment of the show, and he's going to be explaining the different pages of this book that is going to open. So it's really a completely different way to think about the classical music.
Wow! And you said you're also going to do some modern, like what's something that we know,
yeah.
Or
For example, we are working in music written specifically for the show. So, for example, we have a Spanish composer, because we both are from Spain, and we have a Spanish composer who is writing a piece for the show, and is going to be closing the show. And we are using, for example, for that piece, like 100 cubes that are going to be on the stage, and each of these cubes are going to be projected with a visual projection, with this video mapping technique that we use, and we have, for example, another composer coming from California, which is Joshua Penman, and he's writing another piece for us as well, and we are very excited to have him with us in the show. And yeah, we have other composers like Sebastian Courier. We have another piece by a Dutch composer. It's called Jacob TV. It's a piece for flute and electronics. Then we have another piece, for example, by, you see, I'm looking actually for the script, with Joshua Penman. We have Jacob TV. Yeah, I don't know. By George Crown, we play some music as well. So it's going to be very, very, very different every single scene of the show.
Yeah. So definitely it's not going to put anybody to sleep, huh?
No, actually, some of the pieces are very dreamy, and one of the pieces is called is based on a painting by an American painter Toby Heifetz, and the painting is called Sleepers Awake, And the music is called "I Dream I Was Floating," and it's with the dance and with that cello solo that's going to be playing on the stage, and we're going to use a lot of shadows from the projecting on in all these cubes that we are going to create, and so it's a combination between the technology, all the visual parts, all the musicians on the stage, the dance, the actor, and we're. Yeah, that's more or less the idea. But now it's going to be sleeping, definitely.
How did this all come about, doing this?
Everything, we started a music group like 4 or 5 years ago here in New York. Actually, it was an idea that we already started in Spain, and then when we moved here to New York, we continued with this group of musicians. But we wanted to present the classical music in a different way. That was our main concern with the classical music, that we wanted to get to new audience, and we really like to approach to the young people as well, and people that maybe is not very interested at the beginning in the classical music, but if we can come to them through the technology and the visual art, that was why we wanted to develop all this visual art and the technology, because I think we need to approach to new audience. That's why we are doing all this effort in working with different artists from other disciplines.
By the way, it sounds like something that we would see on America's Got Talent, huh?
Why not?
Now, in the past, in doing the show, what age groups do you think this appeals to?
Actually, that was one of... Yeah, I don't think it's the show in the evening is not definitely for kids, I would say. But what we found is that people from all kind of ages are really enjoying the show, because there are so much variety in the show that you can enjoy parts of the show maybe that you don't expect. So because suddenly we play some Debussy together with some Sebastian Courier, which is completely different kind of music, I think maybe you like some parts of the show a lot and some parts of the show you don't like it, but maybe another person on the same performance likes completely the other piece. But because we think the show is not designed for kids, like let's say less than 12 years old, something like this.
Okay.
We are designing a separate show just for the students, and we actually are doing a matinee show the second, because this is it's going to be on December 3rd at 8 p.m. at the Queen's Theatre. That's for the evening show, but then we do a matinee for the students the second. It's going to be at 10:30. And it's actually already sold out the matinee for the students. And for that show, we are developing a little bit different the show, where we can introduce the classical music in a different way, more designed for the students and for the kids, so they can learn as well about the process of creating the visual art and the music that we do.
So. And you said, so you've been doing this, like you said, for 4 years?
This show, yeah, about 4 years. But the project in Spain already started about, I think, 9 years ago. We did a different
mm-hmm.
project. We did already an opera in Spain. We did as well a musical theater piece about London in Spain. And then we are running as well a regular music concert music series at the Dimena Center in Manhattan, and this project actually was already we did it in Washington, for example. We did it in South Carolina as well, and we did it in a small venues as well in New York, but this time that the Queen's Theatre is a full-scale theatre, We're working in a new production with with actually more artists on the group, and new ideas. And all this idea, for example, for the pop-up book is one of the new parts of the show that we are developing.
So, how many people are in the group, by the way?
We have five musicians plus the percussions. We have six musicians. It's going to be a piano, a flute, clarinet, violin, cello, and percussion. Then we have the two actors, one for the evening show, and we have another one just for the student matinee. And then we have a dancer as well. And that's an aerialist as well, the one that is doing all the acrobats on the
right.
For the show. So it's a total of how many? Six, seven, like eight or nine, yeah. Plus all the crew, all the designer. We have the light designer, the projection designer,
right.
Sound design. We have a costume designer as well. And it's all people from New York, actually. I would say like 50% are from Queens, and we are very happy about it as well.
So when you say, so in other words, you are not in Spain anymore. You're now, you know, in the United States and establish yourself in Sunnyside, or are you temporarily using it while you're in the United States?
No, we just moved to here, and we start the entire project,
okay.
The entire company here in New York, and that's our, we expect to stay here and develop the entire project here, because actually in Spain there are some other projects that the previous group we are continue developing, but here we have a lot of ideas, a lot of projects that we want to develop and continue working on them.
And the studio that you have, is it large enough like for you to practice in, like the way you, when you're doing a show?
We try to do it. Definitely, we don't have the option to work on the acrobats, for example. We always have to rent the spaces, but we are very happy because we have the spaces like the Space Work in Long Island City, and as well the Circus Warehouse. They are really, really amazing spaces that you can access if you have a company, and as well places like Material for the Arts. Those are amazing organization that are all in Queens, and we are working with them a lot to put together, because otherwise it would be impossible to develop a show like this with this scale production.
Yeah. Are you ever looking to like have shows at the studio?
Or you actually,
just to rehearse it.
No, it's just for rehearsing, yeah, because we really need all the light equipment, all the projection.
Right.
And for example, at the Queen's Theater, I don't know, maybe they have like 200 instruments, like 200 lights that we can use, or maybe more. I'm sure they have even more than that. So maybe you can do the rehearsal with any other kind of light, but then when you go to the real theater, everything changed completely. And that's actually that with
sure.
This show, because yeah, with the other project that we have, with the music series that we develop, and that's something different. That's something that we only combine more the visual projection together with the music, and that's in a much more smaller scale. But with the scale of this show, we really need spaces like the Queen's Theater. Yeah.
Are you putting out the, well, I'm kind of guessing that if you had a CD that really doesn't do it all too well, that a DVD would be better, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That's what we are trying to do. Yeah.
Oh, you don't have any yet?
We are recording the 2 weeks before the show. We actually go to a studio in Yonkers. A studio, it's called Octaven Studio. It's quite famous in the classical music world. And we're going to record all the music from Visuality. And for the maybe for the next production, it's gonna be available to buy the CD. And as well, the at the Queen's Theater, we want to record everything with at least 5 different cameras to produce a nice video recording of the show, and it will be available in our website to find it.
Right. So let me ask you a question, because I'm not sure. I mean, the article is going to come out, of course, before the show, so people could see it. But if I'm coming to the show as a journalist, I mean, would it be okay for me to record? And I mean, to like with for YouTube or something like that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay,
yeah.
So
actually, we really want and I really trust on that we should share everything as much as possible, and we are very proud of the work that we do, and we are very happy to actually maybe sometimes we even ask the audience to, instead of turn off the phone, it's good for us that somebody takes a picture and post a picture on Instagram or video. Yeah, because it's great to share the. We are not. I'm sure that sometimes, of course, a professional recording it looks much better, but we are very happy of what we are doing. And,
yeah, well, then because people could take it, put it on, the recording, and put it on their Facebook.
Yeah.
And you see,
definitely.
Like YouTube, you see a video, so
yeah.
You can see what's actually, you're not just hearing it, you're seeing. You're seeing this as well. So that's a good idea. So when they say when they say no recordings, whatever, you could pop out and say, oh no, we do want them.
yeah. For us, it sounds a lot of artists are like, no, this is my piece, and you cannot share it. Or I mean, I don't think this is the world that we live. I think this is the world that we're living now. It's about communication, and we have to share everything at the moment, and we're okay with that, of course.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I've experienced, like, I would go and purposely, like, say, not take my camera because, I would know that they're not allowed. You're not allowed to record or take pictures. And then I'm in the place, and everybody's got their iPhone out and taking pictures.
Yeah.
And I'm going, wait a minute, they told me I can't. How come, they're not just telling all these other people not to?
Yeah.
So I've learned already to bring my camera regardless. But,
that's a good idea.
Yeah. So now, in your position, do you run this? Are you the...
I'm the co-director
Are you the artistic director?
Yeah, and then we work with all these amazing composers to develop the music, and I'm actually develop as well the set design and the projection design of the show, and all the video projection that we do on the performance.
That's great. So, I guess you've had positive feedback on all of this.
Yeah, I mean, it's been great. All the other performances we did in Washington and in the other venues in New York, everybody was very, very happy and they enjoy a lot the show. Sometimes it's hard to bring audience for this kind of performances, but it really, really worth it. So because the work that we do is very, very special, and we know that it's sometimes hard because it's classical music with all these more sometimes contemporary elements, but it's a really, really amazing experience. That way we try to communicate to the audience.
Okay. There's a sort of pattern, that just so you know, by the way, over at Queen's Theater, of people that go to the show, seem to be people that get subscriptions.
Yeah.
And the people that get the subscriptions are not the young people.
Mm.
If you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah. Totally, but that's one of the things that happens in the other shows, is that when they suddenly, maybe they expect something very modern, very technological, but then suddenly when we play the Debussy, or even sometimes we incorporate some Beethoven music, suddenly it goes directly. It's very, very touching, all the music that we do. So. This is not a crazy electronic it's performance. Maybe sometimes it looks like this from the images or something like that, or maybe for the name, but we really take care of every single detail of the show and with everybody, with the dancer, with the actor, and I think it's really, really nice for any kind of audience.
Yeah. What would be interesting is to get a reaction of when you're doing it for students and the one for the evening. Because you're going to get a big age gap.
Yeah,
of the
definitely.
Two.
But that's why we are developing the show for the students. I think we need to combine both performances, but they're going to be similar. Of course, they're going to have a lot of connections.
Yeah. And as far as when you say students, like what ages are we looking at?
I would say like less than 15, something like this, maybe 13, this kind of age, because that is always a difficult age to define. But I would say something like between 13, 15, less than that, because older than that, they already get the emotions and the feeling. We don't. It doesn't have to be everything so obvious, because with the kids, you have to show everything. You have to present everything in a very specific way, with everything very, very clear to develop their own emotional. But with the adults and people that is older than I would say 15 or 13, they already get the message sometimes, and they get the feeling and the emotion of the classical music, and they have the patience to listen. I think that's very important. They have to have the age where they listen and they pay attention to the performance. You don't have to create a character just to have them paying attention to the show. And that's very, very important.
Right. Well, in terms of the students, was this like sent out to schools in particular, or how did the, put it on there that it's open to students?
That's part of the Queen's Theater, because they are presenting the show, and they already have their own program. And I was speaking with the director of education, I think, from the Queen's Theater. And they have the program to contact the schools and find the schools that are interested. And the last thing I heard, it was like 30 seats left or something like this because the theater has close to 500 seats. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now I was so curious, because if they're getting in touch, you're looking at, certain schools, especially schools where music is prominent. Where they get music majors, or, music is prominent and things like that. I think, for instance, like, I guess the Sinatra School.
I'm not sure which the schools they approach, But sometimes it's good to go to the schools that they already have music programs. But sometimes, on the other hand, it's good to go to the school that they don't have. They doesn't have any program like this. So they suddenly they see a show like this, and maybe they get excited, and for the next year they can develop their own music program or something like this. And actually, that's what we are doing for the evening. We are contacting all kind of organizations in Queens, offering some discounts for the show. So if somebody runs any organization in Queens that they are interested in the show, they can contact us to maybe find the way to collaborate together to bring people from the organization to the show.
Oh, sure. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I don't know how many Queens papers will go after this. I mean, when this comes out, I guess, mm-hmm. It'll get around. You have a lot of Queens newspapers, that's for sure. You know that, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of, yeah, and a lot of people in Queens. It's a big city, Queens.
Yeah. Well, as a matter of fact, I happen to write for 3 different Queens newspapers.
Wow. Yeah.
So. But this one, I'll be writing this for the Times Ledger.
Super.
That's a pretty big paper.
And it's very nice to read the local news and see what is going on in your close to you, because sometimes you hear the news and sometimes it's crazy, but sometimes it's good to know what's happening close to you.
Yeah, that's true.
I would say sometimes I think it's always. Sorry.
Do you have a website?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's the visuality.nyc. That's our domain, visuality.nyc. That's the website of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go there, and it's actually a video of the show. We have a lot of photos from the performances, all the artists, the different music that we play, and everything is in there, the visuality.nyc.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah.
All right. Is there anything else you want to let us know?
No, I just try to really recommend to go on December 3rd to the show. I think it's gonna be an amazing experience for everybody that is on the theater, and it's gonna be only one performance, so it's not gonna be more than one this time. Maybe for the future production we will do more, but this time we have a very nice theater with almost close to 500 seats, and it's gonna be only one time, one opportunity to see the show. And of course, thank you very much for the interview.
I have one more question that I want to ask. After the show, are you planning? Do you have another show coming up someplace else?
We want to. The idea is to bring the show outside of New York. So we want to. We are planning maybe a tour in Europe as well, and more performances around the U.S. But what we will do is to develop our next show in New York, and present it here in New York, and then again try to find more performances outside New York.
In other words, if they go to your website, they'll see this, and there's no, they won't see an upcoming event
Not right now, because this is a really big process. I mean, if they go to the website of the group, which is the name of our group is Cree Art Box, in that website is creeartbox.nyc. That's where you can find more information about the upcoming concert with the group, with the music series that we are developing in Manhattan, and some other projects that we are working on. But the show, the actual website of the show, visuality.nyc, Right now is we are focused 100% on this production, and then we are working in more production, but that's gonna come in the future.
Okay, great. Well, it was great having you on the show.
Thank you very
and
much.
And I can go back to this. This is art, by the way. You're live now, and then it gets archived so that I could get back to the show and quote you.
Wonderful.
For the article.
Thank you very much. That's perfect.
Okay.
That's really fine.
All right. Well, have a wonderful evening, and thank you for calling in.
Thank you very much.
And maybe I'll see you there.
Okay. Wonderful. That would be great. Hope to see you there.
Okay.
That would be great.
Okay.
We will keep a place for you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Have a nice day.
Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Yes, so it's called visuality. That's what it's called. And it sounds interesting. It doesn't remind me of, but made me think of Kotaro. Did anybody remember him? I haven't seen him in years, a Japanese artist. And he used to put on these shows like, you know, it was like New Age, but it was all these visual things that you were seeing that made it such a, you know, so very popular. Anyway, so looking forward to this, and so I'm going to end early, and have a great day, evening, or afternoon, or however that you're listening to this, and we'll see you, hopefully we have another one. I'm looking to do an interview with Casey and the Sunshine Band. We'll see what happens.